Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Vertafore Insurance Podcast, the VIP. I'm the host, Rick Fox. In today's episode, I don't even know if it's going to be that let me rephrase. I know it's going to be extremely entertaining, but the part of that is because I feel like Ted and Arlene, who are our guests today, and I are kindred spirits. And I feel like I was on their podcast, and now I feel like I'm going to have to keep myself from just going off into the weeds on things that might not even be insurance related. So before we do that, let me just introduce Arlene and Ted Tavares. They are the co-founders of the Insurance Licensing Services of America, and also the co-hosts of one of my favorite podcasts, the Spot On Insurance Podcast. For all of you listening, if you haven't jumped on, you're going to love these two. They're actually more fun than I am.
Oh my gosh.
And you know how much fun I think I am, personally. So without any further ado, Ted and Arlene, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on.
Man, it's our pleasure to be here. Hopefully we can bring in the fire for you because we really love what you guys put together.
Thank you for having us on, and I am going to see if I can keep you guys focused on the here and now, not go into basketball and things like that.
Arlene, that will be your job today is to make sure Ted and I stay on point. So before we get going, everybody out there in podcast world, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Follow me on LinkedIn. I post it every week when we come up, and you can share it with your friends. Really glad to have you out there listening, and extremely glad to have Arlene and Ted. So I think the best way to do this, since I'm certain a lot of our people know who you are, maybe they only know you from your podcast. Mm-hmm. I'd just like you to kind of tell us, you know, you live in Puerto Rico now, which in itself we could spend an hour talking about how fun that might be. Mm-hmm. But I just want to hear your journey and kind of how you got where you are and the, you know, kind of how we ended up on the phone today.
All right. So both Ted and I grew up in New York. We worked for a very large insurance agency after many years of being together. And that was a London broker. And it was purchased by Aon back in 96, and we decided to form Insurance Licensing Services of America. The reason we started the business was because I was frustrated with the lack of automation. Back then in 97 or so, everything was being done on typewriters, and Ted's expertise was database development, automation. And I said, if we could automate, this process, we could put together a nice little business. And we did. And, Aon became our first client, and the rest is history. We moved from New York before we started the business. I was still with Minette. And so we were in Texas when we started the business. And we moved from Houston to a very small town in central Texas because we knew that we could do everything via computer. We started with automation, so we knew that we weren't going to have walk-in clients.
Right from the saddle of our horse, yes.
Exactly, right.
Howdy,
from the saddle,
Ted,
of our horse.
Howdy. How are you today?
I might tell how you try to wrangle like some cows, like month one that we were in Texas.
We could go into the weeds about wild boar hunting, about
my first ticket, my first speeding ticket.
Building our friend's home from scratch, from milling the woods. I mean, we've done pretty much it.
So needless to say, when we moved to Texas, we wanted to embrace everything that was Texas, so here's, I was born in Brooklyn, and here we were, doing like cutting down trees, doing all sorts of stuff, and
wrestling snakes,
trapping hogs.
Her favorite, she before we moved from New York, she said to me, Ted, are there any snakes in Texas? And of course, I told her the truth. Heck no, girl.
Heck no.
Because she didn't want to move if there were snakes there. So I said no. So you know what happens the first week, right? We arrive And we hear this noise in front of our house. And these kids had just killed a water moccasin in front of our stoop. A copperhead. It was a copperhead. Front of our door.
Wow.
So I had to apologize.
but through this all, we're running. We start
that's
this business.
There, that's Arlene keeping us on point. Did you catch that? That was iteration one of Arlene trying to keep us on point.
Yes, while running a business. So we start this business in Central Texas and started out with just doing licensing and then grew it to over 50 services. And one of the great things that, you know, we had already worked in lots of different businesses in New York, corporations, major corporations, and learned a lot about different management styles. And we always said, wow, if we could have our own business, we want to take the best of those styles that we have seen into our own business. You know, we had seen bad management styles and great management styles.
We had
seen
people walk into their offices and absolutely love their jobs and saw how they were handled, how the managers treated them. And it was like human beings, basically. At Minette in Point, where we worked together at, they were an amazing group of people. I mean, we went to, when we started there, whether you were a clerk or whatever, you can go out to lunch with this with the CEO,
managing director.
With the managing director would go out to lunch with you. You know, you all hang out, and it was, you know, it was different. And they treated everybody really with some tremendous respect. They joked around a lot. They had a lot of fun in the office, and so we saw that, and we saw a lot of different management styles that we really said, if we did it, we're going to do it our way, and we want people to enjoy where they work. And even when we hire people, well, up to this point, our people still do this. They say, you need to love where you work. You need to enjoy where you're at. So every day, we're going to make it a point that you're going to come to work, and you're going to like your job. You're going to find ways to really entertain each other, have a good time, but kill the work.
So back to that management style that we saw at Minette. And like Ted said, we used to have great managers. Well, they started off every single week with a meeting on Monday. So when we start our business, and this is me being me, he says, let's have a weekly meeting. And Ted being Ted says, we're going to start it off with blizzards from Dairy Queen. Yes. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We can't afford that. That's like $14 every week.
So you're here at the very beginning now. Right, she's like, right. No way.
That is so great.
I think into the first 6-7 months, we had our clients calling Arlene because she was handling and asking her, will you please send me the bill? I'd like to pay you.
Yeah, that's
because we're so busy with other things.
That's how, you know, when you start
that's the
a
way
business.
You start businesses. Yeah. Same way with our agency owners out there. A lot of small agencies started as a producer who went out on his own. And all of a sudden there's all of these other pieces to running a business. We've had episodes on that where it is a mind blowing experience. And the way that you guys handled it sounds like not only did you handle it well, but as usual, it sounds like you guys had a lot of fun doing it.
I mean, and we did have fun, but yes, it's you're doing every aspect of the business, right? You're shaking the toner to get how much more toner in that copier on jamming fax machines back in the day.
I was painting the office, doing the floors. Oh, the toilet stopped up, Ted.
And like Ted said, you know, sometimes we would be working on projects till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and this would be for months, and clients would call and say, you haven't invoiced me, you know, which is a very important aspect.
Kind of crucial in the success of your business is getting that money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I love what you said about the work and working hard and enjoying what you do, because I've always kind of lived by the adage that if I enjoy what I do, I'll never work a day in my life. And so I love that you took that approach and went in that direction. So continue with your story. Get us down the journey, down the path. And I'm going to hand it over to Arlene because Ted won't get us there fast enough.
and usually it's the other way around, but yeah.
But so one of the things that, you know, early on, we kept listening to our clients. You know, obviously you don't have that many clients when you first start out. And our clients were wonderful about coming to us and saying, hey, I don't want to do this function anymore. Like these filings with the Secretary of State, these annual returns, I don't want to do it. And so our clients really are the reason that we develop so many services. There were some services that we did go into that we then stepped out of because they were just areas that we didn't feel were as profitable. And so we decided to just go for things more that were complicated areas, but we just continued to develop. You know, we have probably, like I said earlier, about 50 services. So we developed the business and in...
I think one of the most important things that you can do and that she's pointing out is listen.
Yeah.
So many times we come up with ideas and then we feed it to the clients, but what we tended to do was ask. You know, what are your needs? What do you think, you know, in the industry right now, what's your pain points? And let us know. You'd be surprised. We may be able to come up with some way to help you. And we would talk to our clients about those pain points. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I think that we had the surplus lines tax filing, that we were the first ones to put that together in the nation. So.
And even though it was, we knew it was, and it is a very complicated process and you really have to know it well. We knew that there was a tremendous need. We kept hearing years and years. And of course, from being at a brokerage, you know, a London broker with, you know, a big area that did surplus lines, we knew that that was something that was so painful to the brokers. So, you know, we developed that service back in probably 2004 and just kept, you know, doing different versions of it and just really sophisticated, making the system a lot better to the point now that we're developing and launching an online surplus lines tax calculator that brokers will be able to use nationwide. So that's super exciting.
That is great. That is cool. That is really cool.
Yeah.
Well, so, okay. So fast forward for me now, when did we have the brilliant idea, because you guys have been out in front of this for a little while, that along with everything else, you wanted to take on this daunting task of running your own podcast? Because to me, like now that we're knee deep, and this is the second one I've been a part of, the one at Agency Revolution, and now this one, but it's not easy. It's not, I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's great and I love it and love to have conversations just like this, but kind of talk me through or walk me through how that came to be, and then sort of the process of the podcast.
You know what people say about insurance?
That's so I know a lot of things they say about insurance. You know,
one of the things that they often say in our interviews is, I fell into it. We fell into insurance in a long time ago, but I'm gonna skip forward to tell you that we fell into podcasting as well, because I was chairman of the Heart of Texas Workforce. And one of the things that we kept hearing all the time whenever we went to conferences, I've never heard of ILSA. I've never heard of your regulatory compliance services. And we were everywhere on the web.
Or at least you think that you're doing a great job of marketing, but people are constantly like saying, where have you been?
Where have you been? I've never heard of
exactly.
You. That was like a great service. And I was like, holy, what am I going to do? So one time I am at the Heart of Texas Workforce.
In DC.
I'm the chairman and I'm in DC. And a guy comes up to me, Doug, and sticks a mic in my face and says, I'd like to interview you since you're the chair of the Heart of Texas Workforce. I said, what is this for? And he says, podcast.
No, you didn't, Ted. You grabbed the mic and started talking. That's what you did. We know that that's what you did.
Well, I think so, too. You know, he was a DJ back in college.
Of course he was.
I'm not afraid of the mic, but I'm like, what's the reason for this? You know, I got to be careful what I'm saying here. And he says, it's a podcast. And the first thing out of my mouth was, what's a podcast?
What's a podcast?
I almost said something wrong. No, I said,
hey, that's okay.
A podcast? I kept it clean.
We'll be the first R-rated version we've had, so it's okay.
So
and this was 2015.
That's 2015, and he says, "Well, this is what a podcast is, and this is what it does," and I'm like, "Wow, this is pretty cool." So that was my first inkling that this existed. Never mind, it had already existed for 10 years, but you know, I guess I was Johnny come lately to the party. But the first thing I thought is, he said, "Well, it's tailored to this industry and this area," and I'm like, we don't really have a podcast for the insurance industry. Mm-hmm. So I said, stay right there, I gotta go upstairs and get my wife. so I brought her down and I said, Arlene, let me explain this to you, this podcast thing. And then we talked to Doug and we said, Doug, can you do this for us for the next year? If we hired you, can you do a podcast for us for the insurance industry, at least for a year until we get really learn the ropes? Yeah. And he did.
And let me tell you, for me, it's an easy sale because I'm all about shiny new objects. Yes. Like I always want to go and try out new stuff. So now take that to when we go back to our office and we tell our employees, guess what, gang? We're going to start a podcast. They're like, What
are they up to?
Crazy
now?
Bosses again with something new. So, you know, it took a while for them to like warm up to it. A long, long while.
No, but yeah. But the whole idea is I was like, wow, what a tremendous way to get the message out and to share our experiences with folks and to meet new people. And it's such a great way of giving back to the industry that really has treated us so well for the last 30 years or so. I mean, we really have made our, you know, our professional lives in this industry, and it's done tremendous things for us. And we have so much, because we work with regulatory compliance, we touch so many different areas of insurance that it has allowed us to gather tremendous knowledge and information, and sharing that back with others is just, it just jazzes us.
Well, and you get to a point where like we were in a similar situation that sounds like you were. We didn't stumble into it. We came up with the concept, but the same idea, like when I was at Agency Revolution, that was a marketing automation company that had started as a coaching and consulting company. And that legacy thinking of, well, that's what that company is. So we wanted to do two things. One is to get the message out that we were a different company than, we weren't your same father's company, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And the second piece was to what you just said, Ted, which is to just have great conversations and get to know great people. What was so great for me when I came over to Vertifor is obviously the size of the company and the reach. I feel like I've got the opportunity to not only have these great conversations, but for many, many more people out in the industry to hear. And I think this is the kind of stuff you're doing, the kind of stuff we're doing. There's other ones out there that are taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, to reference you guys living in Texas, and getting that information out to our industry, because I think a lot of times that's one of the holes we have is I'm into the industry, whether I just fell into it or my dad was in it or my mom was in it. Now I'm in it, but I need to learn. Where do I go learn? Where do I go find people like me? Maybe I work in an agency that's a little sleepy and I want to be tech forward. What can I do? So finding these kinds of ways for people is great. It's great avenues for people to learn. And so once again, as I've said before, we appreciate what you guys do. And that your Spot On podcast brings on incredible guests. Always a fun conversation, which makes it tolerable, because we've all listened to the ones where, you know, 10 minutes in, you're like, man, this guy's voice is bugging me. I can't listen to this. You guys are always having fun. It's great. Okay. So we're podcasting. We're doing like how many different products or services do you guys have now? Like wait, let me stop. How did we end up in Puerto Rico? Before we go there, how did you guys get from Texas to Puerto Rico?
Okay, so we were actually looking to buy another home in Puerto Rico, and we had visited Puerto Rico lots of times. And so we were house hunting in 2016. And
we were thinking that someday we would retire. And we said, well, we might as well get a head start, maybe get a home. We're visiting at least once a year, staying about 3 weeks. Why don't we get a home there? And then the thoughts were that, you know, in 5-10 years, maybe we'd be able to retire.
And a friend of ours from New York connected us with friends of hers, a couple that had just moved to Puerto Rico and from New York. And we met with them and had dinner with them. And they started talking to us more and more about Tax Acts 20 and 22. Now, we had heard about it probably for about a year and a half, but we hadn't really explored it. And as we were talking to Cheryl and Greg about it, we realized that this could be something that would work for us. They recommended an attorney to talk to. We put together a meeting with our CPAs and our attorney.
Just to explore,
from the States.
Like the next day. Yeah.
And within like
3 months,
we were here. We said, this tax act is going to work for us, and we are going to become bona fide residents of
Puerto Ricans.
as one of our my Americans friends puts it, Paul Weekends.
Paul Weekends.
I'm a Paul Weekend. Well,
Dylan, who is my producer, and you guys have heard his voice before if you listen to the show, is from Texas, and he's pinging me in the backgrounds, and he wants a quick explanation of how you ended it. Why from Brooklyn did you choose a little tiny town in Texas? Like, what was the antithesis of that? Like, because he's from Texas, and so he's okay. Like, why would you... That seems like that doesn't seem like a jump. That seems like a triple jump leap into the next world.
Yeah. Good. Well, good question, Dylan. So, when we were living in New York, we worked right in New York City and lived in Westchester. And we had probably about close to half an acre, which is a lot, you know, from growing up in Brooklyn. That's like tons. Like our
family
thought we were living in the boonies, which, you know, was just like, I don't know, 25 miles away from the city. I
remember we have a time limit here.
Oh, point. Sorry. So anyway, we were working for
thank you, Ted. You just kept her in line right there. I love that. That was awesome.
Be careful what you ask for. You have no idea how big a tangent she can go into.
So I was working for Minetta at the time, went to visit all of their offices, and we ended up in Texas and went to the San Antonio office and to the Houston office. And a lot of the guys were from New York, New Jersey. Ted was with me on that trip. They told us, go look at the homes. You're not going to believe it.
The cost of the homes?
Yeah, the cost of living.
Yeah.
And so I think it was 6 months later, we were living in Houston. And we were renting a house that was on 10 acres. We had purchased 5 acres, but we were living in a house that had 10 acres. And then I said to Ted, when he first bought the 5 acres, I was like, that's so much land.
It's like, what are you going to do? Get cattle? Five acres.
That's crazy.
In New
York,
you have your backyard is like a couple of feet, you know? So we moved there. She's like, 5 acres. Oh my God, that's so much land.
And then we're living on 10 acres. And then I'm like, you know what? It would be perfect to have like 60 acres.
Oh my gosh.
She changed her tune real quick.
And then we ended up buying 657 acres
in Groesbeck, Texas.
In Groesbeck, Texas. And and did the hog thing and all that good stuff.
We did that with a friend,
Oh my gosh. I love it. All right. I'm going to get us back on point here. So here's what I want to, answer this question for me. So now you've been doing this thing for a long time. You weathered, you know, the downturn that when the economy crashed and we all made it through that. Well, most of us did, some of us didn't, but I want to know kind of now what are you doing? Like, how many things do you do? I mean, I don't want you to get into too much detail, because at the end we'll send everybody off to find you, your podcast and your website, but like, how many things are you guys doing now?
So we're running, you know, our licensing and regulatory business. You know, we have like 55 or so employees in Texas, and we have probably about 50 something services. We do licensing, we do surplus lines tax filings, we do all of the filings with the Secretary of State. So, you know, totally different divisions within the company. And then we run our podcast. And our podcast started out with just one episode a week. And then Ted had the brilliant idea of adding another segment to it. So now we are producing
do's and don'ts.
I saw that. The bonus segment, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's our world. Like, compliance is our world. And so, you know, the 1 hour show has taken off, and we have listeners from all over the world, but we also have, you know, the compliance folks that there's a really big need for it. And it's just really impactful. It's like 15 minutes, boom, we're done.
Yeah.
And then chilling in Puerto Rico. Yeah
that sounds podcast. Great. Before we started recording, I said, I just picture you guys getting up in the morning, going out onto the beach and walking with pina coladas in your hands. Like, that's the vision I have of you guys. And Don't say anything because I want to keep that vision. Don't kill it for me. Actually, it's probably true anyway. All right, so
you can see the beach from our house. That's for sure.
I love it. So, all right, so let's dig in a little bit here to where your expertise and the experience that you have sort of translates into our listeners. Like, let's give them something that, like, I think at the end of the day, I do want to talk about who should be reaching out to find you guys, and especially the do's and don'ts for people in compliance and things like that. But you guys are talking to people all over the industry, have been for years. You've been in it and around it. Give us something, you know, that we can sink our teeth into in regards to things you're finding, the way agencies are running, the way the business is running, whatever you think it is that's crucial. What would that be? Like, what pops into your mind when I say that?
So for me, I would think, I think about when we first started this business, and several people told us, you're going into such a niche business, you're never going to have a big enough audience, you're not going to be able to make a living. And we said, no, we're going to go for it. You know, there's a need. Well, we became experts at something that's so complicated, you know, like surplus lines, tax filings, come on, all 50 states. And the business came from it. Yes, you know, like, really know your stuff. Like, sometimes I talk to agency owners, like, make a name for yourself in a niche, like, you know, you don't have to do everything, because then you're not going to be an expert at anything. So if you're into racing motorcycles, do your thing in motorcycles. Right, if you're into hiking and, you know, rock climbing, and
do what you love, isn't that what you said?
Do what you love, and you can make a business in, you know, in that industry. Like, we have a client up in, you know, Northern New York, and all they do is extreme sports. Well, that's what they love to do.
Yeah.
I just love that you can, it's okay. If you become an expert in that niche, people will find you. People will appreciate your expertise. So when people call up and talk to our folks in our office, within 5 minutes, they're like, dang, these people know their stuff. Like, I can ask them about any state, you know.
Right.
And they know their stuff. Yeah, it's not, we don't do everything out there, but we do our stuff that's complicated really, really well.
Ted, let me jump in there. I think what that says to me, and Dylan's probably rolling his eyes right now because I say this probably every episode, is it's finding that time in your day to take a step back and not just constantly be working in the business, but take some time to work on the business. And what you're saying is, it's even as simple as, what do I love, and how could I make that part of how I make money or how I run this business? And to your point, extreme sports, definitely not my thing. But if that's somebody's thing, then they should be making a plan toward doing that. I love that. I just wanted to say that. I think that is a part that gets missed a lot, because you guys know, and obviously I know from being an owner of an agency, your hair's on fire all the time. And taking just a moment and then, to your point, finding something you love, whatever niche that might be, because we get caught in that moment where we think we have to some degree be a generalist so that we can get all the business, but get really good at certain things, and then you will get all the business in those areas. I think that's it's great advice, Arlene.
I think the number one area is leadership, which is, you really, you know, we say know your stuff, but there is a lot to know, but that's part of what we do on Spot On Insurance, and that is introduce you to different people in the industry who can fill those little areas of needs that you have. So you really have to become a listener of these podcasts. If not, you need to be reading all these books about what's going on in the insurance industry and what people are doing differently. Every day, if you've got to make that transition from having your head down and doing the work to getting to the next part of it, which is a visionary, where you're leading, where you can see where you're going, where you have these ideas. And again, you don't have to be a generalist. You have to be a leader who finds people, who finds organizations out there who, for a drop in the bucket, will do what you need done
right
for your business, and it's going to bring your business up several notches. And you cannot, I mean, you've got to get into the new social media that's going out there. We're in TikTok now.
Oh no.
You couldn't even.
You and my teenage daughters.
Yes.
That's right.
We're right there because, and it's because the youngsters that we have doing our videos, we told them we need to touch the people that are coming up in the industry, the newcomers, the ones fresh coming out of college
and high school.
We talk about this all the time, that in the insurance industry, we have this need for new talent because there's so many people retiring. And it's going to be a lot of empty spaces. Come on, guys. We've got to get to these kids, these up-and-coming bright stars of tomorrow, and be the first ones to really touch upon them and say, hey, look, we're doing new technology. Hey, here we are doing some TikTok stuff that's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Dr. Robin Kira is shocking us with some of the stuff that he continually does. You know, when he hit TikTok running and some of the stuff he's done is phenomenal for the industry. So he's got us all hyped up on our side. What else can we do that can really inform the youngsters about the jobs that are in the industry, the things that are going on right now? But as an agent, going back to it, as an agency owner, you really have to become a listener of shows like yours and the ones that we're putting together, where one idea can change everything. Tony Robbins says that if you go to a conference or something, you just come out with one idea, that idea can change everything. And I can tell you, every conference we came up out of for the last 5 years, we came back with 5 or 6 ideas. We had so many, and it was just putting them in line and implementing one domino that was going to knock some of the rest down. Mm-hmm. So they're out there, but you've got to be out there as an owner, as a leader in your agency, searching for these and then bringing it in.
And I love what you said, Ted, about, you know, surround yourself with providers that can catapult your business, you know, mm-hmm. You know, just surround yourself. There's certain things that you don't need to mess with. Like going back to what we were talking about, do what you love. Yes, early on, I did every aspect of our business, right? We both did so many things that we now don't do, right? What do I love about my business? I love talking to people. And so like on LinkedIn, I have, I don't know, like 25,000 people on my network. I chat with my people. Like people are reaching out to me about jobs. They're reaching out to me about the inspiration that we're providing on the podcast. They're asking about mentorship calls. And I'm doing that. Like I'll jump on a call with young people and just give them some ideas and maybe how I went through a challenging aspect of my career. I love that. That's what I love. I love networking. That's my thing.
Well, and I think when I said earlier, but I was really excited to have you guys on because Arlene, frankly, words are great, but the passion is what speaks to me. And I can just feel how passionate you guys are about not only this industry, but I mean, would you say you have 55 employees? I mean, that's a responsibility, and not only to yourselves and to your business and to this industry now, but to those folks. And so I have a follow-up question, which I think you can answer from your perspective, and it's a business. So it translates into any business. And in this case, maybe to people out there that are listening on that are at a carrier that work in an agency or that own an agency. And I would just say, what do you guys do to ensure that your employees are treating each other with respect? Because that's, to me, that element is really kind of the culture builder. Like that's the foundation of the culture. How do you deal with that? How do you make sure that's the way that it's happening?
I would say institute well done in your office. That's what we did to instill that culture, and our people love each other, work for each other. If they're having a divorce outside, I've heard them walk in and say, man, I have a place to go where I love the people I work with and they love me back. It's all about positive reinforcement instead of using negative reinforcement about you don't have a problem. We have a problem because something went wrong. And where did my communication go wrong? And it's a very small book. But what we did was we made that book the foundation. I mean, we got the videos. We make people listen to we have people listen to the video at least once every 2 to 3 months, especially when they come in and they're hired. We go over the well done concept, how they should speak to people, how people should be spoken to. And earlier on, we even fired a manager as a result of not following that situation. As a matter of fact, we had a complaint, and the person who sent the complaint and then another manager who was there said she was in shock. She said, "I'm shocked that you guys stood by your guns and you fired this person, because I didn't think you would do it." And we said, "No, we are very serious about treating people a certain way. You want to treat people the way you would want to be treated, and you exactly. want to give them every respect, and you want to communicate." Now, there are those, when we talk about well done, there are those whales that you have to spear. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that's realistic. No, you're right. They have their own agenda, their own thing, and your thing is to identify those, because that one fly in your soup just does ruin your soup. So, you know, we've tended to try to clean house early on, as early as possible, identify, try to really train them. But at the heart of it, at the foundation, is that well done concept.
By Kenneth Blanchard.
Ken Blanchard, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I love that. And that's, I think, the overriding sentiment there is that you have a strategy in place, right? And that, whatever that is for you, if it works, just make sure there's buy-in at all levels. Like, to your point, there's going to be the wild card. There's going to be the lone wolf that might not fit your culture, even if they're good at their job, or they get, you know, their whatever that might be that they are good at. If they're not fitting in with the rest of the buying into what you're trying to do as an organization, that can really kind of change the whole dynamic, and you don't want that. All right, last question. I got to ask you guys this, because I wish we could just go on and on and on, but we have, I mean, and we'll do it again. I will definitely want you guys back on. And I just love you guys. So here's the final question. I always ask this at the end of the podcast, and I want you both to answer separately. So we're going to record this next little bit, and we're going to put it in a time capsule, and we're going to bury it. And someone's going to dig it up tomorrow or a month or a year from now. So I'll start with you, Arlene. What is Arlene's one big piece of advice for the insurance industry?
Learn as much as you can about everything that's going on in the industry. So not just your specific job. When I started out, I mean, I used to read whatever I saw my managers reading, and I would just absorb everything. I wanted to learn every bit about it, even though when I came in, I was an administrative assistant, mm-hmm. you know? And so just learn and ask questions so that you can learn some more.
Same question for you, Ted. What's Ted's one big piece of advice for the industry?
She knows that's my number one, but I'm going to give a number two, which is...
Man, now I have a number two, which might be my number one.
which is find that mentor, which we hear over and over again. Find yourself... Two things is... One is find that mentor. The second thing is don't go in there and just do your job.
Yeah, I love
you
that.
You have to go beyond doing your job. Arlene and I never just went in and did our job. If we're not wowing somebody, if we're not wowing a client, we're not happy. But we had that when we were in the when we were working for companies. We walked in, and if I was freelancing for 3 months, I mean, I once got thrown a party after 6 months. Being an CBS Fox Video, and there was a manager that was leaving, and they weren't throwing up. I was kind of embarrassed because I had wowed them more than that individual had. And I'm not bragging about it. I'm telling you that if you walk in with that attitude that I'm going to go do my job, that my name is on this.
Yeah.
And I want it to mean something. I don't care if it doesn't mean anything to anybody else. I don't care if, you know, they don't appreciate it. I want to instill that habit in myself where I am doing 110% wherever I go. And it's for me, because I know that I'm instilling a habit in myself. I'm going to be the best that I can be.
Well, I think what you do there is you add this layer of, I can either just go do my job, or mm-hmm. I can turn this into something that I'm passionate about and make it a career. And that's what you guys have done. I'm so grateful that I got to know you before. I'm so thankful that you've come on and been a part of our VIP podcast. I would just say this to anyone out there listening. I'm certain by now you realize how much fun Arlene and Ted are, but in all seriousness, they have so much information to give. If you are not currently listening to the Spot On Insurance podcast, it is time. Go right now and find it and start. I mean, just go back and check out some of the names and some of the episodes. And then to the point that Ted made about adding the second one is that do's and don'ts. There's so much just chock full of information. So I love you guys. Thank you so much,
man,
for being
on. I love you
on.
Too, man.
We appreciate it.
Wow.
And it's always great to talk to people that are this passionate about helping this industry. And that's what we're trying to do here. So thank you so much for being on, guys.
Thank you so much for having us on. What a pleasure.
We'll see you next week, everybody. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends.
Thank you for listening to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast. And tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertafore.com under the Resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us at vertafore.com.